Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, Text 15. Namo Namaste Kila Karunaya Nishkaranaya Bhuta Karanaya Sarvagama Mam Naya Maharnavaya Namo Pavargaya Parayanaya Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances. Namaha. Again, I offer my respectful obeisances. Te unto you. Akila Akarayanaya. Unto the supreme cause of everything. Nishkaranaya. Unto you who are the cause, who are causeless. Adbhuta Karanaya. The wonderful cause of everything. Sarva. All. Agama Amnaya. Unto the source of the Parampara system. Of all Vedic knowledge. Maha. Arnavaya, the great ocean of knowledge, or the great ocean wherein all the rivers of knowledge merge. Namaha, I offer my obeisances. Apavagarya, unto you who can give deliverance or liberation. Para Ayanaya, the shelter of all transcendentalists. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, you are the supreme cause of all causes, but you yourself have no cause. Therefore, you are the wonderful cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you for the shelter of the Vedic knowledge contained in the Shastras like the Pancharatras and Vedanta Sutra, which are your representations and who are the source of the Parampara system. Because it is you who can give liberation, you are the only shelter for all transcendentalists. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described herein as the wonderful cause. He is wonderful in the sense that although there may be unlimited emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, janmadyasya yataha, he always remains complete. Purnasya purnam adaya, Purnam Eva Vishishate. In our experience in the material world, if we have a bank balance of $1 million, as we withdraw our money from the bank, the balance gradually diminishes until it becomes nil. However, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is so complete that although innumerable personalities of Godhead emanate from him, he remains the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishate. Therefore he is the wonderful cause. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhujami. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. Even in this material world, we can understand that the sun has existed for millions of years and has given off heat and light since its creation. Yet the sun still retains its power and never changes. What then is to be said of the supreme cause? Parama Brahma, Brahma, Krishna. Everything emanates from him perpetually. Yet he maintains his original form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna personally says in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Matak Sarvam Pravartite. Everything emanates from me. Everything emanates from Krishna eternally, yet he is the same Krishna and does not change. Therefore, he is the shelter of all transcendentalists who are eager to get free from material bondage. Everyone must take shelter of Krishna. He is therefore advised, Akama Sarva Karma Va Moksha Karma Udaridi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Param Brahma, the Supreme Lord, and Param Dhamma, the Supreme Repose, is Krishna. Therefore, anyone who desires anything, whether he be a karmi, a jnani, or a yogi, should try to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead very seriously, and all his desires will be fulfilled. The Lord says, Ye yatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. As the living entities surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Even the karmi who wants everything for his enjoyment can get it from Krishna. For Krishna supplying what he wants is not at all difficult. Actually, however, one should worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the sake of getting liberation. Vedaisya Savaraham Eva Vedya. By studying the Vedic literature, one should understand Krishna as confirmed here. Sarva Gamam Naya Mahar Navaya. He is the ocean, and all Vedic literature flows from him. Therefore, intelligent transcendentalists take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Dharma Prachaya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. This is the ultimate goal. So the translation again, My Lord, you are the cause of all causes, but you yourself have no cause. Therefore, you are the wonderful cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, for the shelter of the Vedic knowledge contained in the Shastras like the Pancharatras and Vedanta Sutra, which are your representations, and who are the source of the Parampara system, because it is you who can give liberation. You are the only shelter for all transcendentalists. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. His name was Gajendra. And he was being attacked by a crocodile when he offered these prayers to Lord Krishna. And he's recognizing that Krishna is the only one who could ultimately save him. That although it appears that there are many causes behind things, but the ultimate cause behind everything is Krishna. Just like in the universe, there are many things going on, but it can be traced that the source of all the energy is Krishna. Oh, it is the sun. It is said, Eka Desha Sitasyagya Joshnad Vistariniyata Parasha Brahmana Shakti Sitedam Akilam Jagat. Just like fire is in one place, and the heat and light of the fire is spread everywhere. Similarly, Krishna is one person, and from him emanates all the different energies. Therefore, this verse is emphasizing we should take shelter of Krishna. Because by taking shelter of Krishna, we could actually get whatever we need or even whatever we want. Of course, the Vedic literature tells us what's most desirable. Just like if you have a desire to get something and you go to a multi-billionaire and you ask him for 50 cents, then you're wasting your time. If the person is actually a multi-billionaire and he can give you anything you want, and if you ask for 50 cents, then you're just wasted the opportunity. Similarly, Krishna is much wealthier than any billionaire since he controls and owns everything. Therefore, if we go to Krishna, we should know what would be most desirable to ask him for him. So Krishna mentions here that, or Prabhupada mentions in the purport, we can ask Krishna for liberation. Now, for most people, liberation means to get off on the weekend, to have a vacation on the weekend, or to go for 2 weeks to Croatia. That's liberation. Especially to the coast. But here, liberation means to get free from the bodily concept of life. Most people are not interested in getting free from the bodily concept of life to understand their eternal identity. Most people are interested in increasing their material environment that they're existing in. That is, as Queen Kunti said, most people are interested in Janma, Aishvarya, Shruta, and Shribi. These are things that are considered to be auspicious in the material world. Janma means to take birth in a very nice country, like Slovenia, the forest, and the fresh air, and the good water. So one is considered to be materially pious for this level of the universe. Or to have a good education, get a degree. Of course, what Queen Kunti was talking about was not modern materialistic education, where they teach you speculation. Education nowadays means speculation. That whatever you learn in school, after 10 years in school, you have to forget because the knowledge is outdated by the time you get out of school. What was absolute reality in physics 50 years ago is considered absolutely incorrect today. And what's considered absolutely correct in physics today will probably be considered absolutely wrong in the future. And Aishvaryam, this is considered the topmost opulence to have wealth. So you can buy anything. So people are interested in getting wealth so they can be comfortable and protect themselves, to make this body comfortable and protected from so many unwanted situations. Of course, whether it be personal beauty, which is another thing Queen Kunti says, everyone wants to look like they're 16 years old. And when you're 5 years old, you want to look like you're 16. And when you're 20 years old, you want to look like you're 16 too. And when you're 50 years old, you still want to look like you're 16. So everyone wants Sribi, personal beauty, material opulence, wealth, influence, education, materialistic education, the Vedic education, was considered to be also opulent, in the sense that one could learn how to do sacrifices to get whatever we wanted, whatever the person wanted from Vishnu, or one knew how to control the material nature through the mystic powers, or one knew how to even farm properly, get all the resources necessary with little effort, material resources necessary little effort. So this is all under the classification of knowledge. Because knowledge nowadays means how to play a video game. If you're an expert at some video game, you consider it to be advanced. Or if you know how to hit a ball with a racket over a net, then you're considered to be expert. So these things are not bad, but they're become bad. Personal beauty, striving for personal beauty, striving for more wealth, striving for more influence, striving for more materialistic education, they're not considered to be desirable because they distract one from understanding the value of one's own self as a spiritual being. In other words, if we're a spiritual being and we live forever, that the greatest thing we can discover or learn about is our own self. Now this body is the next step away from ourselves, and the things outside this body are even further away from ourselves. In order to realize ourselves, we need material assets, because it's through this body, through the activities of this body, and our subtle mind and subtle intelligence, that we make an effort to realize ourselves. So these things are necessary to be taken care of. But they should be taken care of to help us realize ourselves. Just like a car has value because it could drive us, say, to the grocery store. But its value is diminished if we drive it over a cliff. It certainly will drive us anywhere we want to go. Over a cliff is possible, but it won't be very helpful to us. Similarly, if we use this body to discover our actual selves, then it becomes valuable. And if we utilize it to become more and more bewildered, trying to struggle to find happiness in a world of problems, then we misdirect our energies in ways which will not be very fruitful or helpful for us. Therefore, Krishna has given us a guide in the form of the Vedic literature. And from the beginning of the Vedic literature, it talks about how Krishna is the source of everything. That anything that we want is actually coming from Krishna. Now, Krishna is also Krishna, and his energies are also Krishna. But when we don't want Krishna, and we want only his energies, then we forget how the energies are actually related to Krishna. Just like if we see the sun in the morning and we don't understand that the sunlight, or we should say if we see the sunlight in the morning and we don't see the sun and we don't understand that the sunlight has come from the sun, then we may think that the sunlight is separate from the sun. So similarly, if we look at this energy and we don't see it in relation to Krishna, then we may imagine that it's coming separately from Krishna. We don't see how it's intimately connected to Krishna. And everything that's going on here is intimately connected with Krishna. And therefore we may do things which will not help us become conscious of Krishna and therefore simply look through his energies trying to find ultimately Krishna. Actually, everyone's searching for happiness, knowledge of how to find happiness permanently, and that's in our relationship to Krishna. But when we look for permanent happiness in a temporary world full of problems, rather than look for Krishna in this world, see how this world is related to Krishna, and how to utilize it for Krishna, then the result is that we keep on wandering here from one birth to the next, looking for happiness, but not knowing that that happiness we're looking for is found within Krishna, within our relationship to Krishna. Therefore, the Vedic literature says, the Srimad Bhagavatam says from the beginning that Krishna, everything comes from him, and that if we realize him, then we become successful, peaceful, happy, and fulfilled. And this Bhagavatam is not interested in simply leaving us in a world without Krishna. It's simply interested in putting us into a world where we're with Krishna all the time. And therefore it said in the third verse, Nigama Kalpa Tarara Galitam Palam Sukham Mukham Amrita Dravasam Yutam Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Mohora Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. O expert and thoughtful men, relish this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the mature fruit of all the Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. And although it was very relishable of all kinds of people, it's become even more relishable even by liberated souls. So Nigama Kalpa. Nigama means this Vedic literature. Veda means knowledge. Whatever is real, whatever will last, whatever knowledge is factual, meaning that it's true for now and it will be true for 5 million years from now, that's called Vedic. For instance, the fact that the body's changing but the soul's not changing, that will always be true. So that's called Vedic. Wherever we find knowledge which is true forever, that's called Vedic. So Nigama Kalpatara. Nigama means the Vedic literature, and Kalpa Tarar means the desire tree. So from this Vedic literature, we can get whatever we want. We can get material wealth, we can get material position, prestige. If we follow its instructions, we can get knowledge of ourselves, we can get knowledge of how this creation has come about, we can get liberation from the material concept of life, or even spiritual awakening of our relation with Krishna. It's offering whatever we want in the Vedic literature. Nigama Kalpatara Galitam Palam. In the spiritual world, there are trees called desire trees, called Kapa Vriksha trees. And if you go to the tree, you can ask from the tree whatever you want. Generally speaking, the devotees there in the spiritual world only want to please Krishna. Therefore, when they go to the tree, they ask for some fruits or for some flowers to offer to Krishna. They don't ask for a Mac computer or a new sports car. They only want to please Krishna, and Krishna is pleased by the loving offerings. And he values, for instance, a beautiful flower more than he does a Mac computer, an Apple computer. So that's what the devotees ask for. But if you actually somehow or another wound up in the spiritual world and you had material desires, and if you asked for a Mac computer, an Apple computer, then the desire tree could give it to you. Of course, there's no internet there, so you wouldn't be able to use it very much. Couldn't. But then you would have to ask for a program. What's the latest OAS or whatever they call it. OAX. But that's not a question in the spiritual world, because everyone is completely happy and satisfied in their loving relationship to Krishna. So Nigama Kalpatara Galitam Palam. Galitam means that it is fully matured. It is a ripened fruit. There's no better knowledge. Everything that we need is there to get whatever we want and whatever we need in this world. It is the mature fruit, just like the mature fruit of a mango tree is a mango fruit. If you have a mango tree that doesn't give fruit, it's not a very valuable tree. Or if you get a mango tree and all the mangoes are still green, you can't do very much with them. You have to wait till they become mature, fresh, ripe, and then you can pick them, and then they're very valuable. Sukha Mukhat. So the Bhagavatam was spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami to Pariksha Maharaj. And therefore, Shukam Amrita. It's already was very relishable. Amrita means nectarian. The philosophy in the Bhagavatam is already very sweet nectarian. Dravya Samyutam. Perfect, Samyutam means perfect in every respect. And Dravya, it's easy to swallow. You don't have to learn how to put your foot behind your ear in order to become perfect. You just have to listen to the nice talks about Krishna. Pibhata, Sukamukha Amrita Pibhata Amala Samyutam. Pibhata means to drink or to relish. Pibhata Bhagavatam. So relish the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually meant for our benefit. Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasam. It is like nectar. Alayam. Even after liberation, even after we get free from this bodily concept of life, still it becomes even more enjoyable. So, Muhur Aho. So, the Bhagavatam reciter is saying, just listen, Muhur Aho, Rasika. That even those who are happy hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, they should also hear Bhuvi on this earth, Bhavukaha, thoughtful people. That even the people who are ecstatic hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, who get the greatest benefit from it, they want to hear more and more about it. There's never end to it, because it gets better and better and better. So it gets better because it connects us with Krishna, who has inconceivable happiness, inconceivable affection, love for his devotees. And therefore, if one can take shelter of the Bhagavatam, then one will gradually see Krishna in every page in the Bhagavatam. And when one can see Krishna in every page in the Bhagavatam, one will be able to see Krishna in every moment in one's life, how Krishna actually is reciprocating with all living entities, not only with his devotees, but with every living entity, eternally. It's only a question of how we want to reciprocate with Krishna. If we learn how to nicely reciprocate with Krishna, then we get the maximum benefit from existence. And anything less than that, we get less benefit, that's all. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is simply encouraging us to learn how to have the nicest relationship possible with Krishna, and then our relationship with everything else will become better and better also. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Anyone else? We have some questions from Avadhuta Roy.
Okay, we start with second question. The results of activities done under the gunas are lost in the next life. Are the results of karma yoga in passion and jnana yoga in sattva guna also lost, unlike the transcendental activities of bhakti?
Well, the reactions to those activities is not lost. The activity itself may be lost, but the reactions won't be lost. You carry them to your next lifetimes.
Thank you. Next. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11:37, Krishna speaks to the Yadavas about the need to worship the demigods by bathing their images, anointing them with sandalwood pulp, etc. Question. What was the reason to worship the devatas? This doesn't seem to be a good example after speaking the Bhagavad Gita.
Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't advise to worship the demigods. He's talking about Uddhava in the 11th canto or something?
Looks like it. Yadavas, yeah.
Anyhow, Krishna, we worship the demigods in relation to Krishna. Just like Bharata Maharaj worshiped the demigods, but he worshiped them as Krishna's servants because they're great devotees, most of them. Just like it says, Vaishnava Yata Sambhura, that of all the Vaishnavas, the best is Lord Shiva. So we worship him as a great devotee. We don't worship him to get things from them for our material sense gratification. That even if we worship them like the gopis did, they worship Katyayani, Durga Devi, in order to get Krishna as their husband. So we worship them in as service to Krishna. Then and that's very good.
Thank you. Let's return to first question. In Bhagavatam 11th canto, there is a statement in the commentary, translation. Whatever apparent duality is perceived in the self is simply the confusion of the mind. And in the commentary of Vishwanath, we read, one's bewilderment has no basis other than the jiva himself. Question. So we have two reasons of bewilderment or confusion: the mind and the jiva. What do you think? Is one of them wrong?
I'm bewildered. No, the soul has a choice. When the soul makes the wrong choice, if he takes the choice other than Krishna consciousness, other than Krishna's directions, then he becomes bewildered. Then the mind becomes agitated. As it says, Maharaj Shavdev says, Prabhavastavadabodajata, Yavana Jignasita Atmatatvam, Yavan Kriyastavadidamanovai, Karmatmaka Yena Shriya Bandaha. That as long as one is not interested in Atmatatva, knowledge about Krishna and oneself, then one is said to be defeated by ignorance. And as long as one is defeated by ignorance, then the mind becomes unclear. And as long as the mind is unclear, then consciousness is unclear. And as long as the consciousness is unclear, one will have to take one body after another. So it's due to the jiva's wrong choice that he gets entangled in materialistic existence, and therefore he becomes bewildered.
Thank you. And the last one. Jiva Goswami says, a fight between the Yadus at Prabhas Kshetra was a display of the pastime potency. Vishwanath says, only the devatas were fighting, the eternal associates of Krishna remained avyakta in Dwaraka. Question, it seems that the devatas are quite elevated if their activities are directed by Lila Shakti. What do you think?
Well, of course, compared to us, the devas are quite elevated. They came here because they volunteered to serve in Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna's pastimes are under Lila Shakti. So, of course, anyone who gets the chance to engage in Krishna's pastimes is quite elevated, quite fortunate.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.